This is a part two. Last week we did God Almighty, the King of all the earth. Today is God Almighty, the divine intervention. We want to see how that the power of God is able through God, he can provide intervention in our times of need. You read that.
And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned."
See, God is the King of all the earth,
yes,
who was, art, who is now, and was, and is to come.
Yes.
He's the eternal God. You know, we have presidents in this country, and in some countries they have kings, and they have different, but those rulers have a time span that they rule.
Oh, yeah.
But this God, this King, doesn't have a time span. He always was and always will be.
Yeah.
So we can have confidence any given point in our time. We can still go to him. You know, sometimes we have some pretty good presidents. And sometimes we have some not so good presidents. Sometimes when the good president is in, you wish they could stay. They have a limited time. And then when the ones that's not so good, we wish that their time would hurry up. But God is almighty and he's everlasting. And he's there from generation to generation. He was there when my mother was living and walking this earth and all and that, and he's there during my time. He'll be there during my children and grandchildren's time as long as the world lasts. But he doesn't even stop when the world is gone. He's going to come. He's going to be there even after that. So we have a wonderful refuge. He's going to be our source of intervention. Sometimes we need somebody to step in and take our case. Sometimes we have a lawyer, we might have a good lawyer, and we want him to take our case, or we may have a not so good lawyer. Doesn't matter. He is able at all times to take our case and to work our problems out and to help us. You know, when we look in the scriptures, we see different ones that went through hard times.
Yes.
And God was there for them. Do you know what that does for me? I'm telling you personally, it inspires me. It fortifies me. It encourages me in my time of trouble. You know, I was thinking about you, sister, and you feeling sick. Be encouraged. God is able to heal that. It's not too hard for him. We just got to believe, brother. We got to know that he is able and willing to heal us and to help us. Let's go to Psalm 63 and read 1-7.
O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power, thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with myrrh and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
Thou hast been my help.
Amen.
Do you see, he said, my soul longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. There are times when things are just dry. They just don't seem to be working right. It seems like everything is upside down. But you know, our soul longs for him in a dry and a thirsty land,
yeah,
where no water is. It looks like no help. But at the end of that, he said, thou hast been my help. He is our help in the time of trouble. There are some things that seems impossible.
Yes.
There seems like no solution. There seems like we can't do this. But you know something? God can. Because he's God Almighty. Because he has all power in heaven and earth. All power. I don't care, the most powerful leader or president in this world can't touch God.
That's right.
God is still God. He's God when we're up on the mountain and when we're down in the valley, he's still God.
Amen.
And no matter what's happening, no matter how dark things may look, God is still God. He is God Almighty. You know, people worship gods. Some of them have little, you know, idol god.
Yeah.
They're made by some man's hand. Can't talk. Can't listen. Can't have any power. Can't do nothing.
Amen.
They are made by some man's hand. But this God, the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein.
Yes.
He owns the earth.
Yes.
He owns every person in it. And he has all power. Sometimes I think we just sell him short. We act like he don't have any power. We act like he can't do anything. We act like we're lost in this world, but we're not.
Amen.
We got a great and a mighty God. You know, I just don't feel like I can do justice to try to explain how wonderful God is. But I'm willing to do my best. Let's go now to 2 Kings 18 and 9.
And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea, son of the king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Asia, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah. But that is the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel. Samaria was taken.
Read all the way to 12.
And the king of Asia, and the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria and put them in
Halah
and in harbor by the river of Zordon. Goes on, and in the cities of the Medes, they obeyed not the voice of the Lord their God, but transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, and would not hear them, nor do them.
So, see, Israel was in trouble at this point, because they had disobeyed the Lord, and the Lord allowed the king of Assyria to take them away. But At this time, we're going to drop down to 28. King Hezekiah was the king, and Hezekiah was a righteous man, and he did that which pleased the Lord. And so when we live for God and we please him, we can call upon him and we can trust him to intervene in our behalf. At this time, Hezekiah was facing a great problem. Start at 28.
Then Rashidi stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language and spake, saying, "Hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. And hearken not unto Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat every man at his own vine, of his own vine, and every one his of his fig tree, and drank ye every one the waters of his cistern. Until I come, take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah, when he persuaded you, saying, the Lord will deliver us."
Go all the way down to 35.
"Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and of Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharad? Delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of their countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?"
So here he just told them to not even listen to Hezekiah talking about the Lord will deliver us. Today, the enemy will whisper in your ears, the Lord's not going to do this. Don't be believing that, you know, all that. But he's defined the living God, and we need to recognize when the devil comes up with those kind of words and thoughts that he's defined the God Almighty. And Hezekiah, this was a stressful time with him. Now we're going to go to chapter 19 and read 1-4. He heard this. He's trying to lead these people to believe in God, to believe in the power of God. And here, this man is saying, don't believe it. Don't trust him. Don't let him fool you. Oh, the devil will make you think that if you trust God, that you're being fooled. We're not fooled. He's God Almighty. He made us. He made this world and everything. Amen. And he's got fully able, fully able. He can speak the word and intervene in our behalf.
It came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliam, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, "Thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blaspheme, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord God will hear all the words of Rabbakeim, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord God had heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah.
Okay. So this is what he did. But and I could, when we look at this, we realize that he felt helpless. He felt like he couldn't solve this. But he felt that God could solve it. Yeah. And so he sent to the prophet, told him to pray. He felt that there was a God in heaven, that this is the living God that this man is talking against. And he felt that God could do something. Let's go to 2 Kings 19. Let's go 15:5. Go read on to 7.
So the servants of Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed thee. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword of his own land."
Okay, now we want to look at, this is what Isaiah told them, but Hezekiah was still feeling, he might not have heard this yet, so we want to look at starting at 8. We're going to see what he himself did about it. He sent to the prophet to pray, but he also went to the Lord.
So Rabshakeem returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. For he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he had heard say of Sarki, king of Ethiopia, "Behold, he has come out to fight against thee," he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, "Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God, in whom thou hast trusted, deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria."
Okay, stop. Now, let's go down to 13. And see what, 14. So he received a letter. Let's see what Hezekiah did.
Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thy ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria had destroyed the nations and their land, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only."
You can stop there. You see, He sent for prayer, just like sometime when we're sick, we'll call for prayer and ask the saints to pray. But he went too. He took the letter. Have you ever had a letter that's disturbing? We can stretch it out before the Lord like Hezekiah did. He took that. He went to the temple. He laid that letter before the Lord and he started praying. And then he said, you know, sure, they were able to conquer all these other people because they were no gods. They were the work of men's hand. They couldn't deliver him. But you are the only one. You are the God. He is the only living, real God. Amen. He hears us. Amen. He's not, you know, when we go in the middle of the night and nobody's around, we can call on him and he will hear us.
Yes.
And he will work. We went, came back from Wichita, right? I think that was the day we came back. And I called myself giving my key to the girls. I didn't even look back. I just put and did this. One of them got it. I thought it was Sarah. The key got missing. This is my house key, a shed key, and we're in trouble. So we started looking here, there, and yeah, couldn't find it. Looked in my purse, looked, and both of them said, "You didn't give it to me." So we were in distress. What are we going to do with no house key? I brought that to the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know where that key is. Help us find the key." We looked out in the car, looking in the house, looking in my purse, told them to look in their pockets. And then yesterday. Now, I think you went around that car once already. Yeah. And I kind of looked down, you know, on my side. Nothing. Yesterday she finds it. At the tire on somebody's side. God answered prayer.
Yeah.
We needed him. And he answered prayer. He's there to answer our prayers. If we would live for him. Hezekiah was a man of God. He believed in God. And he lived for him. And he heard the prayer. So we want to read now. Start in verse 20 and go to 37. Let's see how this worked out.
Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee and laughed thee in scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exiled thy voice, though exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy messenger thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots I am come up to the height of the mountain, to the sides of Lebanon, and will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders, and into the forest of his Carmel."
Okay, now we're going to stop. The Lord is rebuking him. He gave this word to Isaiah. He's letting him know that he is not, God is going, "You reproach me." And if we reproach God, you better believe God will take care of it. But I want to skip down now. All of this is showing how God is going to bring deliverance. Let's go to 35 to 37.
"And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out, smote the camp of the Assyrians at 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpse. And Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisra, his god, that Adamelech and Zariah his son smote him with a sword, and they escaped to the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead.
God took vengeance. He provided the divine intervention. When we are in trouble, we need God's divine intervention.
Yes.
That's not human intervention, divine intervention. And he did this for Hezekiah, because Hezekiah trusted in him. And he showed them, all nations now know that God did this. An angel smote, it says, 180 and 185,000 men were smote by the angel. Don't you know that the power of God did not stop here with Hezekiah?
Amen.
It did not stop in the Old and New Testament. It's still the same today. He hasn't lost 1 ounce of his power.
No.
But he needs trust in people. He needs people that are willing to live a righteous life. I want us to think about Hezekiah one time. Another time he faced a problem, and it seemed hopeless. It seemed like there was nothing going to happen. And this is in Isaiah 38, and we want to read 1 and 8. But God provided divine intervention again for him. So, 38:1-8. You see, the Lord, we need to remember when the Lord has provided intervention for us. In times past, many times he comes to our rescue. We don't need to forget. If we get a new problem, we don't need to forget that God is the same God, and he's able to work the new problem out.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy day 15 years, and I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I'll defend this city.
Notice, that's verse 8.
No, I'm down to 7.
Okay.
And thus shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sun, thou of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down.
Look at this. He said, first he said, Isaiah told him, thou will die and not live. Set your house in order. You're gonna die and not live. And he turned, some of us would probably just give up at that point when he said, you know, you're going to die and not live. We'd probably give up and say, well, we're going to die. But Hezekiah wanted to live. So he turned his face to the wall and he said, behold, Lord, I have walked before you. He said, with a perfect heart, and then that which is good in thy sight. And he cried. God is a God of compassion. He's a God that can be touched. with the feelings of our infirmities. He can be touched. He sees our tears. In one scripture I think it says he balls up our tears. Yeah. So he said, I've heard your prayers and I've seen your tears. And I'm going to add 15 years. What? That is an amazing amount of time. I'm just thinking, the Lord would tell me that now at 81, 15 years, I'd be what, 96? That's a lot of years.
Yes.
So, you know, God, and then not only that, he gave him a sign and changed the sundial 10 degrees. Other words, I guess if it was, I'm not sure how that works, but it has to do with the time. Yeah. So instead of it being 1:12, it would be 10 degrees back, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But you see, God is all powerful. He will intervene for us in our great times of needs. Let's go now to 1 John 5:13-15.
1 John 5,
mm-hmm.
13.
Yes.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we shall have the petition that we desire of him.
So all we need to do is ask. Ask, one scripture say, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. It's ours for the asking. When we get backed up against the wall, so to speak, turn to God. Ask him for help. Don't try to solve it yourself. Ask him. There's so many examples in the Word. We see Daniel, how that he was the princes, he was made head of the princes there. And they were jealous of him. And they tried to make a decree where they could get rid of Daniel. And so they had the king to sign a decree that whosoever asks anything of any god other than you for 30 days, they'll be cast into the lion's den. Well, Daniel heard that the decree was being made, and he went and he just opened his window just like usual, and he prayed to God and gave thanks. Well, then they went to him and said, you know, this Daniel, he's making petition to a god other than you. Of course, then the king was kind of put out with himself because he got trapped into this. So Daniel had to go in the lion's den. But guess what? There was divine intervention because God sent his angel to shut those lions' mouth, and they could not harm him. The next day, that king was so distraught, he couldn't sleep that night, but early in the morning, he went to that lion's den, and he called out, oh, Daniel, has your God, which you serve continually, delivered thee? And guess what? Out of that lion's den, he heard a voice. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God, who, you know, I don't know all the words he said, has come. An angel shut the lion's mouth, and they have done me no hurt. And so he took him out of that. And then the other men that made that accusation were thrown in there, and they couldn't even get to the bottom of it before those lions started devouring them. So God has a power above all else, and he can send divine intervention in every time of need. Not just one time, every time. Let's go now to Acts 12 and read 1 through 17. Peter was put in prison. And to see how God sent intervention for him. One.
Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." His chains fell off of his hand. And the angel said to him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him. And was not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw in a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate which leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They went out, and it passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. When Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go shew these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place.
Look how the Lord intervened.
Oh, yeah.
Peter was in prison, and he had these chains and stuff on him, and he sent an angel and caused the chains to fall off of him and told him to bind on off his hands and bind on your shoes, your sandals, and let's go. And Peter was he was asleep. So to him, it was like, this is a dream.
Yeah.
But he did, and when they got to the iron gate, it opened of its own. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. Let's serve him. Amen. Let's trust him. Let's believe him. Let's know that he is God Almighty, and he can and will send divine intervention. But we must live to please him, and we must serve him. If we serve him, we can have confidence of his help. Pray for me.